I'm Carol Hills in for Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Edward Snowden's decision to leak a huge cache of top-secret documents ranks among the most talked-about stories of 2013. And while the former NSA contractor seems to be living a quiet life in Moscow these days, he's slated to release a Christmas video tomorrow. The holiday message reportedly warns of the dangers of mass surveillance. It's not the only talking Snowden's been doing. He recently gave a lengthy interview to Washington Post contributor Barton Gellman. Gellman was one of the three journalists who received Snowden's trove of secret documents last spring. Gellman says for the most part, Snowden is holed up in his Moscow residence, and he didn't part the curtains or step outside once during their 14 hours of interviews.
He's one of those people who doesn't see any big reason to go outside very often. He's interested in the world of ideas and in communication with reporters, with friends, with lawyers on the keyboard. And he's not telling me at all who he's communicating with, but he's a guy who spends a lot of time in front of the screen and always has. He lives on ramen noodles and chips, and he's pretty happy with that.
Does he worry at all that Russia is using him as a pawn?
Look, he's not in Russia by choice. He was literally just changing planes there when the United States revoked his passport. And so he's been obliged to stay. He says he has no contact with the Russian government, no relationship, takes no money, offers them no information. So what he's doing is he is accepting asylum there as any other asylee would, and he is participating to the extent he wants to in this sort of global debate about surveillance that he galvanized.
Now, one thing we found interesting was that Edward Snowden told you that many of his colleagues were sort of troubled to learn, his colleagues at the NSA, where they were troubled to learn that the U.S. intelligence agencies are, quote, collecting more in the United States on Americans than we are on Russians in Russia. Did he give you the sense at all that there are other like-minded souls in the NSA, that he's not the lone wolf that he's being portrayed as?
Oh, I think that is exactly the sense he was giving. He can't claim to speak for a majority. No one polls inside a secret organization of 30,000 people to see who is supporting the program and who is not. Clearly, he believes that the great majority there believe in what they're doing, believe that they have an important mission. But he said that quite a few other people who he talked to shared his qualms about how far they go.
Snowden, in his interview with you, mentioned about giving his colleagues the front page test. What is that?
It's actually quite a startling thing for someone to do who is beginning to lay plans to make this spectacular leak to reporters. But he went around to coworkers and he showed them a particular program. Actually, it's a front end onto NSA systems called Boundless Informant, a name which says quite a lot by itself. And he showed them the system. He showed them the volume of data that's being collected just en masse about the American population, especially about its phone records and also internet records. And he said, what do you think people would say if this showed up on the front page of the newspaper? And he said that quite a few people recognized that this would be a problem, that it would surprise most Americans and it would distress quite a few.
He took a ton of documents. Is there sort of a mechanism in place for what happens to the rest of them? I mean, is there sort of a dribble-dribble, drip-drip method? Is there sort of a trigger ready if he's arrested? Did he say how that would play out at all?
He says absolutely nothing about how much he took or where it is or whether it's in more than one cache. I can tell you that there's not one single set of documents and that he has tried to play no role whatsoever in what the reporters he gave them to do with those documents. So he gave me and two other journalists substantial archives of material. He has not tried even once since, and I would not allow him to tell me what to publish or when or what to hold back. He asked us explicitly to use our own judgment about what was news and what would be harmful to security.
So now that you have a lot of that stuff, are you going to be releasing more and more stuff yourself?
I found it wise not to talk a lot about future reporting plans, but I'm not done with the story.
Barton, your clandestine contact with Snowden, you have this relationship with him. He selected you as one of the journalists to pass on his document cache to. Do you ever think that the line between journalist and player gets kind of blurred?
Certainly not in this case. Edward Snowden is a source. He is someone who was inside an organization, who was not authorized to speak to me, who thought he had important news, and I thought so too. He took precautions to avoid being prevented from talking to me and to avoid being preempted. This is all fairly normal functionally. It was just at a fairly extreme degree in the sense that the material he had to give was much more sensitive than anything I, or frankly, I think just about anyone has received before. And the precautions he took to do so confidentially had to be greater because he was trying to, in effect, blow the whistle on the world's most powerful surveillance agency without being surveilled.
But you worry at all that there'll be some sort of retaliation toward you?
I'm not going to make any predictions about
Yeah.
repercussions on me, but I will say that I was doing my job as it's supposed to be done.
Reporter Barton Gellman, he's a contributor to the Washington Post and a senior fellow at the Century Foundation. Thank you so much, Barton.
Thank you.